Peter was martyred in Rome by Nero in the year 68. So at this very same time, now that we got the time period sort of opened up here, that very same time, there was a young man growing up in northern Italy by the name of Cornelius Tacitus. Tacitus would eventually head to Rome and be educated as a politician and a lawyer, but would today he is known as one of the best of the historians of the Roman Empire. In his annals, Tacitus records the Roman history beginning with the year 14 all the way through the year 65 or 66. And in his 50, I'm getting to the point. In his 15th book of the years covering 62 through 65, Tacitus records about persecution of Christians. This is a Roman recording about Christian persecution. He writes, Nero fastened the guilt and inflicted the most extreme, exquisite tortures on a class hated for their abominations, called Christians by the populace. Mockery of every sort was added to their deaths. Covered with the skins of beasts, they were torn by dogs and perished, or were nailed to crosses, or were doomed to the flames and burnt, to serve as a nightly illumination when daylight had expired. Nero hated Christians. But sometimes Christian persecution comes from our own brothers and sisters in Christ. It comes from our very own church. In the year 1523, there were two Augustinian monks who were burned at the stake in Brussels, Belgium, by the Roman Church's Inquisition. Their heresy? They were teaching a doctrine taught by a man named Martin Luther. These two men are thought to be the first two martyrs for preaching the Lutheran faith. So now let's fast forward all the way up to this past Friday. In Egypt, 26 Coptic Christians were gunned down in an ambush by those who wished to purge Christianity out of Egypt. If we go back several weeks before Palm Sunday, it was 44 Christians and over 100 injured. I don't need to go on. You have read the statistics. The point is, Christian persecution and martyrdom has been there in the beginning and still continues to this very day. Every day in the world somewhere, there are Christians being persecuted and martyred. But you and I, living in this country, we're not likely to be burned at the stake or thrown to the dogs or beheaded for being Christian. Because of this moment, we have freedom. And tomorrow, we will remember and thank all of those who have given their lives that we may live in this free country. They have defended our nation. They have defended our ability to preach openly the gospel of Jesus. Lost my spot. But living in freedom, but living with this freedom, it makes it even harder to wrap our heads around St. Peter's words that he gives us this morning. He says, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. You see, Peter is living in Rome, and he's witnessing in real time Nero's persecution. When we connect the dots, this fiery trial is Christians being lit as street lamps. They're being murdered for Nero's entertainment. So Peter writes a letter of encouragement and instruction to the fellow believers and also to you and I, that we may endure this suffering for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter says that this persecution should not be viewed as strange. The fact is, Christian persecution is situation normal. It's taken place ever since John the Baptist was beheaded by King Herod. And all those who are under the spell of Satan's lies, they desire to live to satisfy their flesh. And they don't want anyone, especially Christians, getting in their way of serving their false gods. They always hate anyone who trusts in Jesus. We see it in the Middle East, and we are seeing it in America today. You and I have pretty much escaped this kind of persecution, but things are quickly changing. You can see it in the media when public figures and celebrities openly are mocked for supporting pro-life issues and supporting the biblical definition of marriage. They're mocked and belittled. And it's not only celebrities, it's everyday Sam and Sue Christians like you. Persecution is being dished out because of disagreements in the details of doctrines. It's within the churches that they are persecuting. They cut and paste the Bible to suit passions of their own desires. They don't want correct teaching, they want comfortable teaching. Adopting heretical doctrines in the name of inclusiveness and church growth. And then when you stand up for inerrancy of the Bible, that God's word is the sole norm and source of all Christian teaching, they look at you as if you had lobsters crawling out of your ears. They call you unloving. They call you hating. But remember Peter's words. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. We know where this persecution comes from. It comes from Satan. Paul tells us that Satan is our adversary, and he is roaring like a lion, looking for those to devour. He wants you to believe that Jesus' death and resurrection is nothing more than a fantastic fable, some story that a fairy tale would do better than the story of Jesus. He wants you to believe that God has abandoned you. He has left you alone in your suffering and wants you to try to pick yourselves up and save yourselves. But dear Christian, we take heart. God has a purpose for allowing persecution. It's not a form of punishment coming from God. No, Jesus has already taken all your punishment for your sin on Calvary's cross. He's paid that price by shedding his own blood on your behalf so that you might be saved. But God allows these trials so that he might test you. He strengthens the Christian through persecution and affliction. And through this hardship, he fortifies your faith, and he drives you to the foot of the cross, where you look to Jesus, who is the founder and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. In your adversity, you will suffer according to God's will. And although you and I don't know what God's will is, it is his mystery. It's hidden away from us. Know that he still has your best interests in mind. That even though through all the persecution, he'll strengthen you, he will uphold you, he will bind up your wounds, and he'll use all the afflictions for your own good or for the good of your neighbor. It doesn't mean the fiery trials might be easy. Suffering for the gospel is not pleasant. The beatings, imprisonment, sometimes even death. That's what happened to Peter and so many others through history. But for the Christian, suffering death for the sake of the gospel is an honor, because you recognize just how far Jesus went, suffering and dying for your salvation. In his letter, Peter is telling Christians that they're preserved by Christ. In times of trials, in times of tribulations, Jesus is with you. You cannot preserve yourself any more than you can raise yourself from the dead. It is Christ alone who keeps you safe, protected from true harm. And what is true harm? That would be denying Christ, the sin against the Holy Spirit. In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus prays to his Father, saying, when they bring you... It's not in our gospel lesson, it's from St. Luke, my apologies. Jesus says, when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. God's not promising any special revelation, but he has armed you. It's a font. He armed you with the power of the Holy Spirit. In the preaching of his gospel and in the reading of God's holy word, he has armed you with the word of God. He strengthens you to keep you in the true faith and to confess a strong witness. The Spirit will give you the courage to confess Christ and him crucified. The Spirit will aid you to speak clearly a pure confession, the truth of Jesus as you have come to know it through the Scripture. In our gospel text, Jesus is praying to the Father in heaven as he's about to be betrayed and crucified. But he knows it's time, and he has prepared his disciples and his church. He's given them everything they need. As he prays to the Father, he says, I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Your faith in Christ Jesus is your salvation. It is your eternal life. Jesus has given you everything you need in word and sacrament. In the midst of good times and bad times, through your trials and tribulations, from your tyrannies and persecutions, you have his promise. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And he is with you to the very end of the age. He gave his life on the cross for you, so that you would never be separated from the Father. You're in his care even in the face of death. With your eyes on the cross, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will not lose faith. You will endure. God will preserve you until he folds you into his arms and carries you into his eternal kingdom for the sake of his Son, Christ Jesus. Peter writes, rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. On this side of heaven, your sufferings are only for a little while. But on the other side, the glories of heaven last for all of eternity. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.